every now and then, not stirred, shaken. You need to, thank you, I still am who I am, you know. This is
where we are.
If you came here when I took over the reins of this place about 9 years ago, and I say took over the reins of that, like I don't really had any control over anything, like I still have control over anything. If you saw where we were and where we're going, and you doubt the hand of God, come up here because I need to slap you. No, like seriously. Actually, I'm going to get Daryl up here. He's bigger. If you get a shirt that says I got slapped by, yes, that's all the t-shirt for. Wow, just the movement of God and the fact that as she is unwildly running up and down the aisles right now, Gracie, a few years ago in Palm Sunday, was wheeled through because she wasn't able to walk through. And now, for the second year in a row, she's walking through and just loves Palm Sunday because people look at her and smile. And she's like, it's me, you know, hi. And it's awesome to see these things that happen. Great movements of God that happen in our day and in our age and in our time. And sometimes we want to check it off. Sometimes we don't want to believe. Sometimes we're scared to believe. Because what does it say if what we've prayed for and longed for doesn't happen? What does it say if the thing that we have spent so much time on our knees about, that we've shed so many tears over, doesn't come to fruition in the way that we've asked? Does it mean that God is not there? Does it mean that God is not loving? Does it mean that God doesn't answer? Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. I believe in a God who heals. I believe in a God who brings people back from the dead. I believe in a God that has cancer beaten. I believe in a God where there is no disease too big that he can't cure. I believe in a God that makes people walk who have never walked, who see, who have never seen, who speak, hopefully one day, who have never uttered a word. I believe in a God who will get a 6-year-old to go to the bathroom on a potty. She just turned around. I'm talking about you, Grace. I believe in a God who moves in mighty ways and brings relationships that were broken back together, who reaches into the darkness and brings people into light, who kills addiction, who stops suffering and oppression. I believe in that kind of God. And if you don't know that God, come and talk to me. I have some stories to share with you. If you don't know that kind of God, I have to tell you, one of the things that I've prayed for is a deeper passion and understanding of our Lord. And any time I've talked about grace, really, I turn into this guy and I start thinking Brett Favre. I know this is weird, but it was somebody told me a long time ago, you start crying, just start going, Brett Favre, Brett Favre, Brett Favre, because he wouldn't be crying, you know. So these are my Brett Favre moments. But this willingness to just open up and like, Daryl is 6'6". He's a strong guy. He works out all the time. He does product in his hair. He cares about things. Yeah. Which one of us has a hair person that you have to call and get an appointment? That's all I'm saying. I have an app where I can see which one is closest to me that has an opening. To see Daryl shaken. If you've known Daryl for any length of time, I've known Daryl for now 20 years. Wow. That's a long time to know someone. If you have known him for any length of time and you can see the shaping of his life and his faith, man, we're blessed to have somebody like that who leads us and is willing to. I mean, y'all see me cry all the time, but have Daryl up here lose it. Daryl goes, you got this because I don't. And he turns around. That's God. It is awesome when we allow God to move. And I know some of you are still uncomfortable right now. And that's okay. That's okay. Because I got to tell you, I used to be there. I used to live there. I used to own that joint. I was the mayor of Uncomfortableville when it came to things like this. I used to say when questions, even as a pastor, when people would come to me with questions about healing or all these different things, I'm like, that's Donna's department. Go to Pastor Donna. You know, you want comedy, that's me. It weirded me out. I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and I saw things from that lens, and that lens where I went was high church, smells and bells, and it was all about the liturgy and the litany, and it was about you knew what was coming next. And sometimes the Spirit goes, won't. You know what's coming next, but God goes, no, let's go a different direction. And that makes us uncomfortable a lot of times because we want to know what happens next. The beauty of the cliffhanger is you want to know what happens next. And for life, a lot of times, those uncertainties are the things that wig us out. Those questions about what is around the next corner are the things that cause us to wake up at night. In our faith with God, those are the things sometimes that give us uncertainties and start us to go, whew. But those are the moments when the Holy Spirit just blows you away. And I look, and as I look out, I see a lot of people who have been touched by healing and touched by God's hand and redemption and have known the power of God. I just look out and I see you. And I know that there are stories that I have no idea about. I know that there are people in here right now who are just in utter pain and despair over something. I know there are people who are suffering an illness, a disease. I know that there are people who are in broken relationships. I know there are people who are suffering from addiction. I know that there are people who are experiencing darkness. And I want you to know that God is there. I want you to know that His power is greater than whatever you think or know. He is the God who ends all oppression. He is the God who brings redemption to the world. I saw a little slogan from a church up in New York City. New York City. And it said, joining God in the renewal of all things. I took a picture of it with my phone. I wrote it on the big whiteboard in our office. Joining God in the renewal of all things. Because what it does for me is it does a couple of things. One, it acknowledges that God is working. It acknowledges that God is moving right now. That God is bringing. It's not at some point in time in the future when Jesus comes back that things will be okay. It's right now. When Jesus left, He said, look, I'll be back one day, but now get rolling. On earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's how He taught us to pray, is to bring the kingdom now. And what that tells me is that God moves right now, that God heals right now, that God redeems right now, that God restores all things right now. Not then, now. And the other thing it does for me is it tells me that I have a job in that. Joining God, not letting God, not watching God, joining God in the renewal of all things. I have a role in bringing the light of Christ to the world. I have a role in going into relationships and bringing love. I have a role in ending oppression where I can. I have a role in bringing water to people who don't have it, food, shelter, whatever it is. I have a role in bringing healing to a world that needs it. Joining God in the renewal of all things right now. There is no time like the present to see the power of God. And some of you may have never experienced it. you might never have experienced when the Holy Spirit just takes hold of you and something happens and you walk a little bit down the road and you turn around and go, whoa, what? Yeah, that wasn't me. I've been in rooms where I've sat with people and I've said things, and I know me and I hear my inner voice. I've said things that weren't me because they were too gentle. It's okay to laugh, Jamie. I was too gentle and too loving and too caring and too filled with grace that it could not have been me. And I leave and they're like, wow, that was so great what you said. And I'm like, what did I say? It is amazing when you open yourself up to the movement of God. It's amazing when you take a sermon that you prepared a week for and then Libby's got to go and ruin it. Thanks, Libby. But you spend time. The 9:30 crowd has just gotten the short end of the stick the last 2 weeks, man. I tell you what. Y'all are lucky. We don't like 9:30. Shh. We don't like them. Just kidding. Love them. It's just amazing how God works sometimes. It's amazing where God shows up. That's the thing. Is you want to know where you're going, look for where God is and join in what he's doing. And so we are becoming slowly but surely the place that joins God in the renewal of all things and breaks down Methodist walls where stuff like this just doesn't happen because we're Methodist. Thank you. Longtime Methodist just laughed at that one, I guess. But this is the place where that happens. This is the place where God dwells because God dwells in each side, inside each one of us. And what I don't want to happen is for us to get on board, and we all get crazy. And some of you who are not quite ready for that still come, but you sit in the back and you look and you cast aspersions at people that do. And then you slowly come forward and break down, and then we just leave it here, though. I don't want that to happen. I don't want this feeling that I have had to stay here. I want it to go with me, the mystery of faith, the mystery of the magnificence of God. He's too big to leave in a room. He was too big. This is Dr. Seuss right here. He's too big to have stayed in a tomb. Sorry. I still am who I am. He created me, you know. He's got to answer for that one. We're coming up to Easter and we're celebrating the fact that Christ died, but death could not conquer him. Death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? And it's Palm Sunday and the kids come through and it's fun and it's great to see them. And they took us down a different path. And we celebrate today communion. And I had a really good sermon about it. But this is what happens when you join God in the renewal of all things. You sometimes set aside what you thought was going to happen and you move to where he is. Sometimes you got to set aside where you think you should be when you know God wants you to be somewhere else. Sometimes you got to set aside the words you want to say when you know they're going to break. And maybe you say something different. You open yourselves up for the voice of God. I'm trying to tie this back into the Lord's Supper. And God says, stop it. We come forward today to receive life. We come forward today to receive the gift of life, the body and blood of Christ. It's a Passover meal. It was a meal that they were used to. It was a meal that they had done at least two times with Jesus before. And however old they were, as many times as that every year with their families beforehand, they knew this meal. They knew the story of this meal. They knew the power of God in this meal, the fact that they celebrated God's hand moving into Egypt and taking them from slavery to freedom. And so every year they would come together as a people and celebrate redemption. And so they did it that year. They went into Jerusalem and sat around the table. And Jesus began the Passover meal. The story of slavery, of the plagues, of the release, of the redemption of the people Israel. But something happened in the middle of the ceremony. Jesus went off script. He changed some things. And at the appropriate time when he should have taken some bread and said, "Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, for the grain of the earth," he said that. And then he broke it as he should have done. But then he said, "Take this, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And I'm sure the disciples, having known what was supposed to be said, started spinning in their heads. What's happening? Why did he just change things? And why is it so personal? And then a few more, a prayer would have been said. And then we came to a time where the third cup would be consumed. And Jesus raised it to heaven and said, "Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, for creating the fruit of the vine." And he's back on track now. But then he says, "Take this, drink. This is my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." And by this time, I'm sure the disciples just lost it. Because what is he talking about? His body and his blood. And then they would have continued the meal and finished singing a hymn of praise to God, celebrating the deliverance of the people Israel from slavery into freedom. And then later that night, he would be betrayed, he would be taken and tortured, culminating with hanging on a cross. His death, his resurrection. I'm sure it wasn't until much later that the disciples came back around to this Passover meal and began to think of it in a different light. They began to hear the words of Jesus once again, "This is my body and this is my blood." And maybe they began to see where Jesus was moving. Maybe they began to realize the power of God. That even death couldn't hold him. And I wonder what it must have done for that Passover meal the next year. I wonder what it must have done to realize the great power of God. They thought he was powerful, yes, but in a much different way than they realized. A much stronger way than they realized. And maybe they started thinking about it and seeing where God was. And if you know the story of the early church, boy, howdy did they take off. People were healed if they got in the shadow of Peter. Think about that. He didn't even have to touch him. God was so on him that just the shadow crossed over them and they were healed. Do you think the disciples understood this body and blood thing a little differently? Do you think they understood that redemptive power of God a little new? Maybe we need to take a fresh look at this and see it in a new way. Maybe we need to come to the communion table and see that this is where God is moving. And we join in this redemptive, restorative power of the Holy Spirit. And we take this body and blood of Christ and we allow it to become one with us. And then we move into the world bringing restoration, renewal, redemption, healing, grace, mercy, love, kindness. Maybe we come to the table today and we leave forever changed. If you're helping with communion, if you would please come forward, I would ask the rest of you to please bow your heads. God, we thank you and praise you for the work of the Spirit. For the moments where you have moved in our lives, we ask, God, that you would make this be for us the body and blood of Christ. That we would be living sacrifices for your glory. That as we move in this world, Lord, we would bring restoration to all things, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. God, we look forward to that time when you come again. But in the meantime, we pick up the cross. We pick up the mantle, the banner. We move into this world, bringing light into darkness. God, we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you come forward this morning, know a few things. This isn't a Methodist table, it's God's table. Because of that, all who care to come and receive communion are welcome. Secondly, we do communion here by what's known as intinction. You'll be given a piece of the bread to which you will then dip into the cup. And as always, our prayer team is on either side of the stage and willing and wanting to pray with you if you have need. Come, the table's prepared.